Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right, that's right. A day after Easter Sunday, we are back live on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself, the man that was not listed on the Mueller report. Thank God, I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only, and one that's definitely part of the collusion of the Trump administration.
Oh, you mean me? Oh, Sean Black in the building once again.
Damn right, you. I'm not part of it. I'm free. I am free of that. I got no conclusion from that.
Oh.
But, all right. So, you know, guys, you know the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347.
I'm sorry to put you to sleep. Keep you awake past your bedtime.
You know, way past my bedtime. 347-989-8402. I had a long Easter weekend. What should I say? You know.
Hey, yeah. We hope everybody's Easter was good to them, hopefully. And if not,
some better than others.
Hope, yeah. Well, for those that didn't care about Easter, I hope you read that Mueller report with you know, drinking while you were drinking your coffee or whatever you were drinking.
But before we go on to our topics, I would like to make a public apology.
You're going to apologize for something? Uh-oh.
Yes. I want to apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the Hot Rod himself. I was wrong for what I said. So I want to acknowledge this now. Over the weekend and last week, I made some statements on social media to our fans who are fans of Beyonce. The Beehive, as you call them. I made a few statements, and they were not too happy with what I said. She made a Netflix movie. She was in it, and I said that basically sucked. And not a lot of people appreciate that method that sucks or whatever I said. So I'd like to apologize to the Beehive and to the fans and to Beyonce. If I knew the girls would be, you know, the fans would be upset by this statement, I would have done it every single day for the rest of my life for sure. I love pissing the Beehive off because your Beehives are really full of it.
I was actually waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was wondering, it's coming. And there you go. The Hot Rod did not disappoint.
I'm sorry. I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, this may sound silly. We are all fans of something. Whether it's sports, music, art, whatever. You know what? Some people are more passionate about to their liking. For example, there's no secret. Sean and I, we love wrestling. Along with K-Dog, we watch wrestling all the time. We talk about wrestling all the time. But at the same time, we don't take it to the extreme or to our passion. The Beehive fans, just like any other fans, you mention one little thing, and they go haywire. They go crazy. I'm like, are you kidding me? Is Beyonce putting money in your pocket, or are you putting money in Beyonce's pocket? You know, I just don't see. I don't see it's not that serious overall. Like what? Oh, Sean, you always know that people always attack me for what I said, but it's something about Beehive fans and those fans in general who are loyal and who are in. Crazy about her, and to this day, I said over the years she's overrated. To me, she is still overrated. I just found this amazing how the Beehives come attacking, pull a little Hot Rod about a few statements I made.
The one thing that I have found absolutely astonishing is the fan base of any celebrity. Whose fan base is mostly through social media. You know, we know celebrities, singers, entertainers that have actual fans that go to, let's say, their concerts or go wherever. We know that they have a grassroots fan base. But then when you have the ones that mostly exist due to, like, through social media, that stay, that were there because of social media, it is almost as if you're going to, as they would say, the woodshed, and they take you to task for the smallest things, things that shouldn't even concern those fans. I mean, it gets borderline ridiculous in a lot of instances. But at the same time, you also know that in the long run, a lot of people are going to forget a certain controversy down the road because a new one will pop up. And these fans are so overprotective of these celebrities for whatever reason. Those celebrities are not doing anything for you per se. So I don't know where all the backlash comes from and the vitriol from a lot of these fans that they go in and they call, like, for instance, there was an instance that happened some time ago with Beyonce. Somebody said something about Jay-Z, and then, oh, that's what it was. There was a celebrity that said that they either liked Jay-Z when they were younger or some way back when in the 20s. That's what it was. One of the sister twins, she, when she was younger, had met Jay-Z and Beyonce. I guess they were dating at the time. And she said something that, I had a crush on you, et cetera, whatever was the case. And she made that known on social media. And the beehive just swarmed all over this woman. And it's like, are you serious? Like, really? It's ridiculous.
If I met any of my celebrity crush, I would let them know I had a crush on you. There's nothing new. This happens all the time, you know. And just like talk about something stupid, the guy from Power, Omar, whatever his name is.
Omar Hart, Jesus. Yeah.
Thank you. You remember the incident of him hugging, trying to kiss Beyonce at a war show, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it was a hug and a kiss on the cheek, but it was like a little bit more than 3 seconds or whatever in front of Jay-Z, and the beehive went crazy. I'm like, guys.
And they're placing morals on this as if that they, the ones that those fans that follow them, have such high, high morals. When we know a lot of these same people are probably doing worse than what they saw there. And this was like a friendly gesture. Oh, I had a crush on you, et cetera, et cetera. A kiss on the cheek and a hug. And that's it. It's not like he did something so vile and disgusting that it should be noted, the case. And I think that if something did happen where he overstepped the line, Beyonce probably would have let him know about it. Jay-Z would probably let him know about it.
Yeah, punch in the face or something.
Something would have happened.
But, okay. All right, sorry, I just have to let that out. So that's my apology to the Beehive fans. Basically, your Uncle Kiss, the Hot Rods, Beehive. Ha-ha. But honestly,
oh, boy.
On to a serious topic. I remember last week on the show, Sean Black and the rest of the crew was talking about the church buying ordained. And we briefly talked about it, and I remember when Sean Black told me they did almost a 9-minute coverage about the fire in ordained. And, and we're like, okay, cool, whatever. Me, I did not care, whatever, you know. To me, it was just a fire in a building. And the next day, I saw on the news there was more coverage about the Notre Dame fire. Like, why are there more coverage? So on Wednesday, I talked to Sean and I explained to Sean, excuse me, I have to lay this out. I just don't understand how you told me Monday night that there was 9-minute coverage of Notre Dame compared to any other news. Tuesday, there was more coverage. So why with the fire that happened in Ordain, God, thank God, no one got hurt or killed. Number two, it was just a building. Number three, it happened somewhere else. And number four, it was not a terrorist attack, but got so much media coverage that it was major breaking news. And number two, it's funny, not to switch the topic a little bit, number two, when I was watching the news covers of Sri Lanka and the terrorist attack, there was no 90 minutes of it. CNN did talk about it. I look at other networks to talk about it for a few minutes, and on to the next topic, back to the Mueller report, back to the senator running for president. But this had a terrorist attack, over 300 people killed, and this involved churches and hotels. Now, Sean Black, can you explain me something I'm missing over here overall between the two scenarios?
The scenario is that, and this is something that has happened for years and years and years, when things happen in Europe, i.e. France, Italy, England, certain parts of Europe, you hear the news very, very strong from whatever it is. We know the Notre Dame or Notre Dame church that burned down was historic. It had been up since the 12th century. We know there's a lot of history, very, very holy, very pious as far as the attention, how much love that building got. Then we also know that we saw a lot of celebrities who had memories going, oh, I went to Paris and I stopped in front of Notre Dame and we went in the cathedral, we looked at it, and it was such a big, big experience spiritually. That's the one thing that you usually hear in these kinds of things. To get to your point as far as the news involved behind that, 90 minutes of coverage live as it was happening. Then the local news talked about it. Then we were hearing what is going on with the church burning. Literally 24 hours later, there was a GoFundMe page set up for people to donate to help this church out, where it was determined that it was an accident. They said it was a short circuit or electrical fire. Something had happened within the church. The structure wasn't destroyed, but it needed a lot of damage. They donated, through this GoFundMe page, well over $600 million in less than 24 hours by private businesses and people that had money, wealthy, religious people, those dignitaries, people of that nature. Yet, the next day, you started to see protests involved in the streets from the people and the residents of Paris. And the reason why you saw that was because people were wondering, how are you appropriating monies involved to a church, which we know is good, a good cause for a lot of churches, et cetera. But there are a lot of other ways that $600, $700 million could have been done and used for the people involved, whereas this church is going to get this huge windfall of money. And yet
excuse me to cut you off, Sean. Key factor of this church thing, is Notre Dame, it already has money.
Mm-hmm.
It does not need any more money.
Mm-hmm.
It only has close to $1 billion already. This church
is
worth millions of dollars. So not like it was in trouble. It's not like you and I, you know, we need money. If our house burns down, we're in trouble. We need a GoFundMe. The church has money. So this is a perfect example of a rich getting more richer. But go ahead.
Of course. And especially, like I said, in Europe, when you hear these kinds of things and you have a lot of foreign dignitaries, et cetera, we know that the economy in Paris is really bad right now. We hear a lot of people losing jobs and the kinds of things that you hear locally about the economy. There, the money involved in there has gone down. They've got a lot of jobless people there. You have a lot of people that are looking for work. There are a lot of people that don't have adequate housing. And you're also hearing, as far as a lot of these things going on, where's the money for the city involved? You don't hear about all of that stuff. But you hear about we're bringing a lot of money in church and everything else. And even more so, do you know they started working on building the thing already? They think that they can get the church ready within 5 years, that they can rebuild the entire church. And a lot of
they cannot fix a problem in their old country first.
Yeah,
and this is where I get upset at, and you know what? I might say a few things to really piss some people off, but this is a show of the absolute truth. Like Mikey from California does message us, that the church is one is the oldest scam ever. I'm not discrediting people's religion and their beliefs. So I just want, that's my disclaimer. You believe what you want to believe. Whether Sean has his views, I have my views, the Jews, the Muslims, the Christians, the Catholics, we all have a different views out in different gods. The Buddhists, that's your thing. I'm not attacking that. Like Sean said a while back, sometimes you need some religious belief as a stepping stool, you know, ways of life. That's fine. But the church itself is a scam, big time. The Catholic Church, one of the biggest scammers in the world right now. You know, and
how many negative stories have we heard over the last 10 years about altar boys and child rape and pedophilia and those kinds of scandals within the church? We've been hearing about that a lot over the last decade now.
But as you always said, will they brush that underneath the rug? Who does the Catholic Church? You don't want to give that negative image of the church, because that's what people go for religious belief or to be quote-unquote saved. So let me give the church $500 of my hard-earned money so I'm going to build, have my gateway to quote-unquote heaven.
Yes. Most people, when they go to church, they are usually told if they go to church that your tithings are supposed to be no more than 10% of your income. If you are going to a church and you give the most 10% of whatever income you have, and that's supposed to go into the church so to help out with the ministry, to help out with the keeping of the church's artifacts, etc., or what they used to call in a lot of black churches the building fund. And what you normally see are a lot of churches involved with getting that money from the parishioners and from the constituents that go to the church, and yet that preacher or the person that is running that church is driving around in a huge car, a huge Mercedes, et cetera, Ferrari, and the people that are there is absolutely, it's like they've taken religion and gone to Vegas with it. Like we've talked ad nauseum about Creflo Dollar. We've talked about all of these other preachers. We've talked about these kinds of issues ad nauseum on our show before. How is that any
different? Do you know that the Catholic Church has one of the biggest banks in the world?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they do.
But we're not surprising at all, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if you think about it, it shouldn't surprise too many people, because that religion has always been, and I've said this before, religion has always been a big business, so to speak. There was a story that I just saw on a website just either yesterday or going into the research for our show, that Kanye West is starting up his own, I think it's called Church Merch, where he is creating church clothing merchandise that he is, I don't know what the quality of the clothing is, but he's got his own line of merchandise for the church. I don't know specifically where the money is supposed to be going, but in essence,
to his pocket,
well, obviously, to some degree. Now, if he's saying that the money is supposed to go into the church for use in the inner city to help other churches, help get into other neighborhoods, if that's the case, and he's going to do that, okay, no problem. This stuff is expensive, but if that's what you want to get as far as getting clothing involved with a celebrity for religious reasons, and you have no actual proof that that's where it's going, I don't know if Kanye is going to put his name into something that doesn't have the legs and the backing, because you know there's a huge backlash. If that's what you want to put your money to and the people are receptive to it, no problem. But I just personally have an issue with something. And talking to somebody that is not really a religious person or of any nature in that sense, to see people actually go ahead and be taken advantage of to a degree, it happens way too often. And we've seen that many, many times.
I'm just saying, you know what? I may take this story a little bit personal, because I'm from a religious background. My family are very religious, especially my sister and her husband. but I can't get too much into that. And, of course, I'm known as a black sheep of the family because I'm not into the church. I'm not into the religion because I seen my own light. I seen the truth, and I got out of it, of the brainwashing system.
Would you say you've seen the absolute truth?
I saw the absolute truth, you know. And it's funny how for many years when I was following religion, I was like, everybody is criticizing. Sean, you don't believe in God. Well, you're going to hell. You don't believe in Jesus. Well, you're going to hell. But I was asked questions throughout the years, a question that people could not even answer. I'm like, okay, who is Jesus? Who is this? Why is this stuff not happening now? You say Jesus Christ is coming back soon. It's 2019. When is he coming back? This happened 20,000 years ago, you know. And so many questions, but no one had the answer to it. Or they make up answers along the way. And like I said, you could use religion as a stepping stool to learn something, or to, you know, as a, or the beliefs. But these church, these pastors, these priests, like you said, it's a business, and to me, it's all a big scam. And I feel bad for the people that put their heart and money or put their beliefs into other people. It's like, why do I need you, Sean Black, to pray for me if I have a big mouth of my own? If I want to, quote-unquote, connect with God or with, quote-unquote, Jesus or Buddha or whatever. It's just a scratch in my head. And when I question these things, I'm the bad guy. I'm going to hell. I'm like, and when people tell me I'm going to hell, I'm like, yes, I'm in hell right now. So Donald Trump is my president. You can't get any bigger hell than this right now. So.
Yeah, good luck with those, though, that a huge tax cut you got.
Exactly. And can you think of yourself right there? The church get a tax cut on top of that. And it was mind-boggling. So, and when you said they did a benefit for the French church fire, I'm like, once again, they have money, and you have celebrities doing a concert, raising money for a church. But once again, why you don't use that money to solve other problems? Besides helping the poor, you don't want to help the poor out, invest the money to make better businesses, to make better jobs. It is mind-boggling how society thinks overall.
Now, the one thing that I do want to bring up is I touched on it lightly last week when we talked about the Notre Dame fires. I talked about how the media tends to push certain attention to other places instead of in places that they should, especially if it's along racial lines. And I'm going to go there because I went there last week, but I didn't go fully there.
Ooh, I talked about hell. You go to hell. You go to hell.
I understand. You remember I talked to you, I brought up about how we hear about the Notre Dame fire and that church burning, but you don't hear as much as a peep when you hear about a lot of black churches burning. Certain black churches have had things happen over the years, and we'll hear, as I stated last week, oh, something happened, a few people were hurt, et cetera, et cetera. It's a sad thing, and then they move on to the next story. There were a couple of weeks ago, during that last weekend, during the time that the Notre Dame fire happened, there were three churches that were burned, historically black churches in the Louisiana area, St. Mary's Baptist, Greater Union Baptist, and Mount Pleasant Baptist, were all burned to the ground for the most part by one person. And the one person, I'm not going to name his name, but he's 21 years old, and he's the son of a sheriff's deputy that was arrested for this whole thing. Three churches burned. Barely heard a peep about any of this stuff. They got a GoFundMe page by the 7th District Baptist Association, which is it's an organization of historical black churches in that area. It's been over almost 150 years old as far as that organization goes, and they look into that kind of thing. They got a GoFundMe page to help with those three churches, and they raised $2 million from April the 10th up until today. That's, I think, the last time I checked, that's what the count was. 37,000 people donated to their GoFundMe page for that particular reason for those three historically black churches in Louisiana. So juxtapose that with what we just talked about with the church in Notre Dame, which got almost over half a billion from a lot of rich people that had money that donated to make sure that this historical building was saved and rebuilt, whereas these three black churches were sent to ashes by probably a racist, because I don't know exactly what he is, but I'm pretty sure that there had to be some sort of racial slant involved for this to happen.
And as always, Flint, Michigan still have no good water. And Mikey wants you to know, Sean Black, besides not hearing news about the churches, we don't hear news about the black woman that vanished out of nowhere.
Yeah.
In states like Louisiana. It's funny how that works out.
We know that.
Yeah. And of course, I have to give it to Miss 954. Go ahead.
Hello, how y'all doing? This is Big Red in the house.
Hey there.
Now since one know since Big Red's on the show now I know I'm definitely going to hell. I'm definitely going to hell now.
You're gonna go to hell with somebody named Big Red. Oh boy.
Wow. But how is that gonna happen? How you
don't be acting like that. Don't be acting like that with me. But okay. How y'all guys? How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing good.
Okay.
Big Red, this is a personal question.
Yes.
Are you a religious type
okay.
of person? Are you like religious or?
Actually, I'm really not. I'm getting into the spiritual awakening and my spiritual aspect of my life right now.
Okay.
So I'm really
talking
not.
Talking about the vodka, the rum, or the Jack Daniels, or which
spirit? That's the hot rod spiritual. We're not talking about the vodka spirits.
All of them. I'm talking about all of them.
Okay.
I'm not really like you know, I respect everybody's religion. Like whatever you pray to, whoever you pray, you know, I respect it. Unfortunately, you have people out there that don't respect others when they do other things. And sometimes,
yeah.
you know, it's outside people, even people in your own family that don't respect, you know, what you do. But you know what? You just got to do what you need to do, you know, what you feel to do. So,
which is hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And it's sad that it's like that, you know, we're still fighting over religion. Like, we're in a, you know, a spiritual warfare now. Like, It you know, I don't know if it's just a trend for now, but it's just like, it seems like, once again, it's always something that happens, and it's just like, it's a trend, and then it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like with all the church burn, you know, with the Notre Dame church, and the I can't pronounce it, Sri Lanka,
yeah.
Sorry. And, you know, with those bombings, and then just, you know, as you said, the black church, it's like, you know, it's just sad that people just don't want to respect anybody's, you know, what they pray to or who they pray to or whatever it is. But it's like it has to be something. I don't know what it is, but you know, I was just listening to you guys a little bit and just, you know, it's just like I said, it's just a sad thing that goes on. But once again, it's like the coverage, just like you said, Notre Dame gets all that coverage. But then when these black churches burn, you know, get you know, same thing happening. It probably happens every day of the week. You hardly hear people out of them.
Yeah, and so, remember, for those that don't know, in the New York area, St. Patrick's Church
yes.
in Manhattan almost had somebody try to burn the thing down. It was some guy that walked in with two handfuls of gasoline and tried to walk into the church. So there was a lot of coverage with that also.
Go ahead, Big Red.
No, I'm just saying, that's what I'm saying. It's like, once something happens, like, once one thing happens, then it's like a copycat. Like, everybody wants to copy, and it's like, you know, would that person, my thing is, would that person have did that if that didn't happen in Notre Dame? Like, if that didn't happen with the Notre Dame, would he have done that?
True.
Like, you got to think about that. Like, would he have done that?
Well, you know what, the guy who went to St. Patrick is an idiot, because you're going to St. Patrick, a very known, well-known church. There are cops everywhere. Security
exactly.
stops you right away. If you want to burn out a church, I'm not giving ideas out. Don't you go to like a local church where there's nobody around? And
right.
I hate when the reporters was like, you know, like Sean would say, reporters now have to throw in their own opinions about something. They cannot report the story. Or if you see someone carrying two gas tanks, you should say something. Remember, if you see something, say something. This is New York.
Right.
Anybody could carry two gas tanks, you know, for any reason. You don't know. They might sit their own stuff on fire. Who
right.
knows these days? But you cannot jump to conclusions on every little thing, you know. It's one thing he left at the corner by the tree or somewhere and walked away. That's when you say something. But the guy was instantly carrying it on his own out in the streets of New York City. But we have K-Dog online. He's always full of gas. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Oh, damn, what the hell?
He always full of
That was
Anyway. Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing? But beyond a real serious note, I'm going to keep it 100%. Everybody knows that, you know, the two biggest controversies in the world that people talk about is politics and religion. Now, in terms of religion, you know, like me, I grew up in a religious family, but I don't look at religion. Why I don't look at religion? Because you know what? For me, I've seen religion turning into a business. It's not even about worshiping God anymore or whatever way you worship. It's all about a business.
Exactly.
Yeah. And unfortunately,
it's sad. That's a very sad statement. Excuse me. That is a business now. You know.
And you know what else? You have a bunch of people that you know. Oh, I'm part of this religion, but they live double lives. They're hypocrites. You know,
mm-hmm.
they stand there. They
mm-hmm.
talk about they preach the good word. They preach the good word. They go around preaching it. But then after, do they live by what they're preaching? Nope. Because they're the same ones that could turn around and hate somebody, or turns around and criticize other people. But yet, they're not perfect in themselves.
Yeah, glad you brought that up. And to Big Red point of family, a little personal story. Like I said, my family's on very religious, whatever. And I'm the black sheep, go figure. It was an event a few weeks ago. And my sister and her husband, they're very religious, they're like pastors or whatever. And I always give my sister and husband attitude. I'm like, of course, that's a big brother, that's for me. But besides that, in my eyes, he's a hypocrite. Once I know you're a pastor, to me, you're a hypocrite. That's just
right.
The way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may prejudge it, but I see what you have said and what you have done. And I see his friends, his followers, when I went to the gathering, they all look at me like, oh, you're a so-and-so brother. You don't pay me no mind. Like, like, they're like, I didn't exist. I'm like, okay. Well, are you the same church people that are supposed to welcome everybody, greet everybody, be friendly,
exactly.
go around preaching, love one another? If I didn't do anything wrong to you, if I did not say anything nasty or come outrageous towards you, why are you giving me the cold shoulder? Because I'm not part of your religion. I'm not part of your
exactly.
quote-unquote clique.
Right, right, exactly. That's like, and my thing is, that's just like, cults. Like, my thing is, you know, they sit up there and look down on cults, but y'all are basically, you know, you're basically doing the same thing. It's like, just like you said, if I'm different, you're supposed to welcome me no matter what. But if you get to a point where it's like, oh, well, he doesn't come here all the time, or because he does something different than I do, then it's like, oh, well, you can't be part of us. That's not how you're supposed to do. That's not what supposedly the Bible is teaching.
And that's the hypocritical part of religion. That's the hypocritical part of it.
Yep.
People act like hypocrites.
How do you guys feel about Scientology?
Sean?
Scientology?
Yeah. The Tom Cruise religion.
I don't know too much about that. I don't know too much about Scientology. I mean, I've heard of it. I don't know too much about it.
Scientology, seems to be, this is the same, I believe, the same religion that was founded by L. Ron Hubbard, the one that does the I think it was Diagnostics or Dianetics or whatever the heck the book
is.
Yes,
you're right about that. Remember that book many years ago.
I saw a documentary about that years ago, and it's, to me, it sounds like a bunch of hooey. But at the same time, as I said before,
shocking.
I am not a religious person. If you believe that that's your faith, that that's what you're supposed to do, so be it. But from what I remember seeing, that this religion was founded based on somebody, I believe L. Ron Hubbard said that somebody from another planet, I think the planet is called Xenu or some planet, aliens came from another planet. And inhabited humans and tried to teach them a high. Something along those lines.
Oh, man.
If people believe that, and that's the problem with religion overall, to me, it's to a certain degree brainwashing. It's business, and plus brainwashing. Like, the Big Red comes to my church, and she don't give me her 10% every week or every month or whatever that is, I'm kicking her out. I'm like, really? But in the Bible, you say Jesus welcomes everybody, right?
Right, exactly.
It's like, once again, it's mind-boggling. And then people get into it, oh, Jesus was black, Jesus was white. I'm like, who is Jesus anyway, by the way?
People are always looking for something.
And
I think it's just human nature. I think people inherently are looking for something to be a part of and to believe in. And if you can get it on the ground floor at something that a majority of people get into, and you can always say, I got in at the ground floor, I've always been a believer. It's like when people are fans of sports teams, when they really, really suck, but then they stick with them no matter what, and then when the team gets good, they can always say, I was with this team when they were terrible, and I know exactly what it was like, so now when we're winning, I know what it, I can appreciate it more. That's what a lot of people do with religion, where if it was founded, a belief system based on other principles from other religions, from other teachings, et cetera, and get in on the ground floor, when that religion becomes a majority of people joining in, they can always say, my faith never wavered, I was with them from the beginning. And humans in general are always looking for some sort of structure, something to believe in, something that will be like a prism that will focus the light that they're looking through into one point so that they can know where they're going. That's all a lot of people are looking for right now.
No, and you're right about that.
You're right about that.
I do have a confession, because if my mother ever knew that, if I ever tell my mother I don't believe in Jesus Christ, it would be the end of me. Guaranteed that.
I guess she shouldn't listen to the show then, right?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Kato knows our type of parents. If she ever hear those words out of my mouth, trust me, I'd be a dead man.
But you know what? I want to ask a question. But you know, I want to ask a question, because even, like you said, my father is you know, that's the same thing, because me and him always have, like, spiritual war and when me and him talk, because it's the same thing. It's like, why are they so, like, why are our parents so adamant about, I mean, I think I know why, but I want to get you guys, I guess, opinion. Why are they so adamant, like, oh, if you don't believe in God or you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. If you don't pray to him, da-da-da-da-da. It's just like, that's how my father, you know, even, you know, when I told him I'm into, you know, like, this, you know, the spiritual, you know, spiritual thing, he was like, oh, you believe in that mess. You better believe in God. And I'm like, you know what? You know what? I'm not even going to argue with you, sir. Okay, yeah, do you. But
I take this one. I believe it was passed down from generation to generation to generation of the brainwashing system. Because what you just told me right now is the same thing I went through with my parents for many years. When I tell we had constant fight of me, I don't want to go to church. Well, for many reasons, it was boring. I want to be cool and everything. And like I told Sean earlier in the program, I had questions as any other kid. Trust me, my 5-year-old son drive me crazy with questions. I had questions, but no one had answers to it, you know. If this is the quote-unquote Bible back then, why are these things are not happening now overall, these so-called miracles and everything? Why do we need to do this? Why is that, you know?
And you have a right to ask questions.
Yeah. and heaven and hell, I think the hell part was just created. I read in a book somewhere, hell was created so people could do good and not do bad. So this scares people's stories of hell.
Right.
Overall.
Well, you know, that basically, you know, started from slavery where they scared, you know, scared the slaves into, you know, Christianity and all that stuff. So,
in fact,
you know,
exactly. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up, Big Red, because I'm sorry for interrupting, but what was the first book they taught the slaves? What was the first book they gave the slaves to read?
The Bible.
It was the Bible.
The Bible, right.
Oh, excuse me. I almost say fake-ass Bible. Excuse me. I didn't want to say that too loud in the air.
No,
I just
but you know what it is?
Well.
You see what it is? It's like you were fashioned to pray, but also, you know, what is the real religion? What is your real religion? Does anybody know? You know, what is the real religion out there?
Well,
because there's so many. There's so many, and you have a lot of these, what they call it now, mega churches. You have televangelists. Yeah, but hold on.
Well, like you said, but that's a moneymaker. That's a moneymaker because they know that that's where their money's going to come in. That's where they know where they're going to get that house and take vacations and them big cars because they know that's a moneymaker. But you don't have to.
Right.
I told my father, you don't have.
Are they entitled to vacations and big boats and the houses? Do they preach the word of God?
I mean.
To their followers?
I mean, I don't feel that they should because at the same time, I mean, if you're going on vacation, you should take everybody with you.
Exactly.
It's their money, right? It's their money.
Yeah. To
right.
answer your
you
question,
should...
Big Red,
mm-hmm.
what you had asked as far as why do you think parents are so adamant about getting their children arguing the point of doing the same
right.
thing, going to the same church, I think it is to validate what they went through as children from their parents. If you have children that don't follow the same religious guideline that you did, it makes that religious teaching that they have a moot point. My grandfather was taught, my great-grandfather was taught to read this Bible, to follow this particular set of laws, religious backgrounds, whatever. And if that person decides to turn away from it, because usually you hear people, I think between the age of 10 and 13, a child has already been able to make up his mind whether they're going to probably follow it or not any further than what they were forced to do. If that changes on some level, it makes that parent feel invalidated. It's almost as if, well, what I'm teaching this person means nothing anymore. And it makes that family feel like they've lost something. And those
right.
values that they were being pushed
right.
to them mean nothing to that child. And I have seen many arguments. I've seen this with my own eyes with people.
Plenty of arguments.
Where they will say, well, why don't you go to church and you'll find a good person to get married and that's not the way I feel, Dad. I don't want to go through such and such. And then you hear them, well, then don't come to my house, you heathen, you a non believer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
So we've seen pressure from parents towards the kids to follow the same route that they do. The kid has made up their mind and has now become an adult, say 18, 19. You made up your own mind. Don't come to my house. And how many times have you heard about people going, like, on Thanksgiving, and they tell you the things you don't talk about is religion, politics, and abortion.
Yeah.
Abortion,
people keep away from.
Politics, try to stay away from. That doesn't happen. But religion, everybody's talking about, well, God said this, and Jesus said that, and the Lord said that. And if you don't believe
it. Like I always say, who's Jesus again? I'm just saying. Who's Jesus?
And if you remember, a lot of religions happened because of a lot of Europeans went into a lot of other countries where you would hear about instances in history books with loot and pillage and going to other places that did not have, they had their own regimented structure of religion, their own history involved. And what happened, as you said, the first book that they were given is
the Bible.
The Bible. so that they can learn about Christian values, so that they can take that religious belief and pass it along to the rest of them.
Right.
So that they can then continue to move that along.
And that was the thing, because you know what? Back then, it was like this, you know, especially when they came into the Americas and they found the natives living on the land, and they converted. That was a battle, because they converted many. And also, remember, when the slaves were brought here, they converted many of them. And, you know, once again, it was like, we could say this. It was brainwashing, you know. Oh, this is what you're going to believe in. I mean, does anybody really know what is truth out there? That's the question we need to ask.
Before I move to Phil, I just want to say this. Religion is the only thing I know that the whole world is fighting over for something that we cannot see at all. Nobody
can
see
God. The only way you'll know about it is when you die. And no one's talking about the dead that I know of.
Hey, good luck contacting the dead then. I just don't care. Like, we're all supposed to love one another, you know, be peaceful with one another, but we're fighting because Keisha's God does not believe in my God. You know, like, this mind boggling nonstop. But Phil, he always worship me as a God. What do you need to say?
Oh, boy.
You as a God? Oh, hell no. But, you know, what's going on, guys? I've been listening to the whole show, and I can tell you a lot of the stuff that you were mentioning, it's the same thing in the Jewish religion.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. There's the politics. I mean, we don't have church. We have temple. We call it shul and so forth, you know. And, you know, I'm not religious. My brother's not religious. We'll tell people we're bad Jews.
Oh, you going to hell? You going to hell?
Shut up. And the thing is, the real religious Jews, they could give two craps about me and my brother, because we don't do what they want. You know, I know you guys.
Excuse me,
you know,
you're talking about
New York.
Orthodox Jews, right? You're talking about
Exactly.
Jews, right? Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. They would curb me and my brother to the curb because we don't follow the rules and all that stuff. And it's ridiculous. I mean, they judge you right away. But I'm going to give you a case in point. I'm sure you guys have seen him on the news, Rabbi Shearhecht. I don't know how old he was, but he was the rabbi.
He died, right?
Jewish
he died 2 weeks ago. The one that died like 2 weeks ago, I think.
He used to have a red beard, but I believe it was gray the last time I actually saw him on a TV show or the news. He was very big in the Lubavitch Jewish community. And the thing is, my parents at one time, my dad had a flower shop, and we were comfortable. And whatever donations my dad would give, he would give, you know, to help fix the shul. But you know what happened? Times changed. My dad sold his business, and times got tough. And my mom got really sick, and all of a sudden, when my dad didn't have the money to give, all of a sudden, this guy had no clue who the hell we were. And case in point, my mom was sitting on the porch one day, and he comes up in his car because my next door neighbor, her daughter, whatever, they used to work for him, take care of all his kids and stuff. He didn't even have the balls to get out of his car and ask my mother how she was doing.
Well,
and now if you're telling me he died, I'd like to find out for me.
But I think we all could agree here, in the bottom line, the true God out there really is George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, who else? Grant.
God.
Basically, it's money. Sorry, it's really money. People really worship money. Mm-hmm. Anything. You know, I'm not talking about God. Go ahead.
Well, they worship money, and they worship celebrities, too, because you know what? A celebrity could be dead, and you see them have a shrine about that celebrity. Man, oh, man.
Yep, exactly. I'll say it like my grandmother used to say. There is only one God, and no matter what religion you are, we're all praying to that same God.
Exactly.
Phil, I agree with you, but I disagree with you. A lot of people disagree with you on that part because there are over 4,600 different types of religion. You're right. There is only one God if you believe in that God. But a lot of people do not see it that way, and that's the problem. Why there are so many different religions or so many different ways that we pray this one person, and then we are war at each other for it. Oh, I don't like you. You know what I mean?
And the crazy thing about that whole that whole explanation is that even though there's well over 4,600 of them, every single one of them, there is a piece of each one of those religions that is very similar. The problem is when one person from their religion pits their religion as superior to the others. And this is the reason why we have so many wars and fighting and people dying over land, over buildings, over places to live, over all of these things, because the most reasons that we see, like the Crusades, more people died in the fight of the Crusades than any other war in the history of the civilized world. And that was their religion. So we know that the people that have different religions, and I've said before, I don't besmirch anyone who has a religious background, who follows a religion, as long as you follow it and use it as a building block to help you get to where you need to be for your faith, for your religion, for your way of life, use that to help shape who you are for the day, for your life, to give you focus. But when people start using that whole bravado and superiority and that piousness, that taking their religion is better than your religion, is better than her religion, that's when you start to have the problems.
Okay. And I don't think I don't think religion should be forced on anybody if they don't want to do it. I mean, you have to want to believe. You have to want to do it.
Of course.
And that's another thing that kills me, forcing it on someone. I mean, my grandmother, may she rest in peace, she used to try to do that a lot. She found religion late in life, and, you know, she would try to force it on us, and my mother said, stop inflicting it.
But no, like Big Red said, it was passed down from generation to generation, but I think that's how the brainwashing and recruitment continue.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
That's how they recruit
more and more. They would scare you into it. Yeah, it's like they would scare you into it. Like, I remember my mother even telling me stories of, you know, like my grandmother, you know, her mother, and then like scaring them into religion. Like, oh my God, Jesus Christ is coming. You know, it's like you're not supposed to force it or scare people into religion, because then that especially when young with children, because then it deters them away when they get older, because that's basically how that, you know, what happened to me is like I was being forced in and scared into it, and it's like now that I'm older, it's like, you know, it deterred me from it.
And as a child, this was the thing.
They always preach it. They say, oh, well, you know, you're living in the last days and this and this, or the world's about to end and stuff. Where are you going to find yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Will you be saved or stuff? And I agree 100%. And you see, Phil, I agree with you with what you said. Yes, there's only one God, but people don't look at it that way. And Hot Rod, you're right, too, because not a lot of people look at it that way. They'll be like this, oh, well, because I'm Christian, I'm going to criticize a Muslim. Or because I'm Muslim, I'm going to criticize someone who's Jewish. Or if I'm going to criticize someone who's Buddhist. You understand? It goes on and on and on and on. The critique goes on and on. Like, look what does your religion teach, you know?
Here's another thing. How many laws or rules of the religion are man-made? I could tell you.
99%.
Yeah. I mean, my religion. We just had Passover just began.
Right.
How much of this stuff has been commercialized with the food? You can't eat this. You know, it's got to be kosher for Passover. All these businesses, they make a killing on it. They make a killing on it.
Yep.
And
it's
commercialized.
You're right, Phil. Because I'm broke because I took my kids out for Easter Sunday and everything. You know, they opened up all this stuff. I'm like, isn't that me? Easter Sunday is like the second Christmas. All these kids getting all this stuff, the Easter basket, blah, blah, blah. We're busy. Businesses are closed. We went out to eat. I'm like, yo, what's going on over here? I thought this was a day when, quote unquote, Jesus came back. Like, I'm back.
Right,
I'm
and
back.
They treat it like, just like you said, they treat it like it's Christmas, even Christmas. Like, this is,
yeah.
That's the thing. It's supposed to be something religious. This is supposed to be something celebrating, you know, just like you said, the Jesus Christ return, his birth,
yeah,
or whatever. But they turn it in, once again, it's commercialized, it's money maker. They know these things, and that's the sad thing about this society now. Everything is about money. Everything is about spending money.
I think tonight we probably pissed all the religious people. We probably pissed off all the religious people off tonight. So
you know you did.
Even more so, all of those theologians and all of those people that think that, you know, as a child you're supposed to be able to question what is taught to you so that you can develop your own thought process, your own independent thought, independent thinking. And when you're a child, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, why? That's just the biggest question, you know? And when you start to ask that question as a child, why do I go to church? Why is this? Why that? And these are just legitimate questions. The first thing that parents usually tell you, you do what I tell you to do or else. And you have to sit down and go through that without explaining to the child why you're doing such and such and such. I have neighbors that are completely religious from DNA in their body. The family, grandparents, sons, grandsons, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's, at least it is explained within their family why. And as long as you can explain that to them without actually besmirching their thought process, they will be more receptive to actually following in that same footstep. Not everybody is like that. Like you said, Big Red, you know, you go to church and somebody says, well, why do I have to go? You go because I told you to go. Now get those jacks on and we're going to church.
Go back to Phil, just like we discussed this last week, with a measles outbreak in Brooklyn. It's basically a dominant Orthodox Jewish area. And because of the religious belief, there's a major outbreak going on right now. What was your thoughts about that? 2 minutes left.
My brother just came into my room and I just left. He needed a nail clipper, so I got kind of distracted.
Okay, that sounds a little bit too personal. Thank you for calling in. Like that. What are you guys doing?
I just got
that
distracted.
Room is your business.
Hey, I just said he just needed to borrow something and he went out.
No, quickly, what do you think about the measles outbreak that's happening in Brooklyn due to the Orthodox Jewish religion?
You know, I haven't been keeping up with everything that happens in New York, but the Orthodox Jewish religion has been around for God knows how many years. And like I said, I really don't know.
I'm trying to understand why the children, I mean, yes, I guess you're a quote-unquote religion not to get a vaccine, but if your children are being sick and close to dying,
The
kids to be well?
My brother and my mother, we were talking about that. They were watching something on the news with this whole thing with the measles, and I heard my mother yell, why don't they get they need to get these kids vaccinated and stop doing the religious belief, because apparently it ain't working.
There's always the possibility
it's not working.
That somebody can die.
Right.
Okay.
And the measles, it's worse than the chicken pox, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
it is.
We have a minute left. You know, our thoughts and prayers to the Sri Lanka people that got killed with a church bombing and a hotel bombing. It was a crazy world out there.
It was
not ISIS that made claim, but it was like an Islamic religious group that took claim about these bombings, and it was crazy. Once again, it was like religion and terrorists. How it goes hand in hand with each other. How we are killing each other over quote-unquote beliefs.
Beliefs,
it was mind-boggling. But I'd like to say for this panel, we are the awoken ones about this. And thank you all. We probably had like 2 listeners tonight because no one wants to hear the truth about religion. So,
well, those that are listening, that they want truth, they got it.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, K-Dog, Phil, Big Red, Sean Black,
Mike,
and everybody else, thank you so much. Till next time.
You're welcome.
And as my gift to you guys, you're going to hell. you go to hell, you go to hell, everybody. You're going to hell.
And then, of course, the pleasure will be all yours
you
when you
something.
Go there.
And the pleasure will be all yours.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Man.
Let me tell you something. Hot Rod's going to be the first one down in hell, so when we all go there, he's going to be giving us the